Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Wow, this is year is really going fast. We have questions every now and then about, you're going to have a dinner this year?
I was just asked a couple weeks ago by a family member, as a matter of fact. So I kind of had to explain the whole deal.
Well, I think last year, maybe even the year before, but I think last year might have been the first year that we moved it from like the March-April window to the September.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gives us a little more time to plan it because we have the golf outing in the spring. And that gives us a little more time to plan it and make it a bigger event for the fall. So it is coming up. You will hear about it here on Catholic Radio, and we'll be sending out our newsletters and everything like that. So you haven't missed it. You will be invited, and it is coming up.
And it's not too soon to start thinking about donations for the silent auction.
That's great.
I just asked someone the other day, because he's an artist, and it takes him a couple months to put something together. And he usually does something quite significant for our dinner. So I have already asked someone, I've already commissioned someone, if you will, to do something for the dinner. So if you own a small business or a service or a restaurant, or you visit a jewelry store on a regular basis, ask, maybe you could put out a feeler and start collecting yourself some things for the silent auction coming up middle of September, our annual fundraising dinner.
And we could use some bigger items for the live auction as well. And those could be anything. I mean, they might be a week in your condo or timeshare. They might be a bigger item that would bring a big price
classic
at a live
car.
Auction. Yeah, classic Rembrandt, you know, whatever you have laying around that you're not using anymore.
A nice chunk of jewelry. I always like the jewelry.
But put your thinking caps on. Be creative. And if you come up with something, give us a call and we'll help you get it all lined up. Our number is 317-870-8400.
Well, you know, some of our listeners will know that this month, May... Did you know that, Jim? Did you know what month? Okay, May is famous for a lot of things. Let's start.
Mary.
Mary. Oh, good. Good. That was the top of your list. I'm impressed. Mary, the race.
The race.
The golf outing.
I thought it used to be Heart Month, but I haven't heard that this year.
Really? Heart Month? No, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe they kind of do a couple of the red dress deal, you know, the heart thing. Okay, so Mary, the race, the golf outing,
is
also Stroke Awareness Month. Did you know that?
I did, just from reading a news release not too long ago.
I didn't know that until, and we have our guest today to kind of give us everything you always wanted to know about a stroke, but we're too afraid to ask.
All right, we're going to ask.
Sponsored by, and we have Franciscan Health with us today, Dr. John and Trey Moore III. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so before we get started, tell us a little bit about you, Trey. So what side of town you hail from, family, parish, what? Tell us.
Sure. I'm a lifelong Hoosier, originally from New Albany, Indiana.
Oh, my goodness. I know where that is.
Did a little time away in Pittsburgh for fellowships and then came running back to Indianapolis. And we currently live on the south side of town. Our Lady of Greenwood's our home parish.
Oh, sure. Monsignor Schwarzkopf.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll be, our oldest will be, going to Roncalli starting next year, so he's really excited about that.
My goodness. Yeah. Oh, that's a milestone. Oh my goodness gracious.
He's very excited.
Yeah, Our Lady of the Greenwood, wonderful parish down there. You guys have, I think it was with Jonathan Meyer was down there, Father John. Mm-hmm. Huge vocations, lots of vocations came from Our Lady of the Greenwood.
We still have quite a few.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about stroke, because that's kind of a scary thing.
Absolutely.
Like heart attack, I mean, I think maybe there are some contributing factors and maybe preventable, but maybe hereditary. So I've got lots of questions. I'm going to jump right in.
Go ahead.
What exactly is a stroke?
Well, a stroke's basically an interruption of blood flow to the brain. And that can happen in one or two ways. One would be a blockage in the blood vessel that either shows up in the blood vessel itself or comes from somewhere else. Or the blood vessel can rupture and start bleeding. Mm. So those are the two basic kinds of strokes we can see.
Okay, so a blood vessel to rupture. Right. Could this be an accident of some sort, or could this be pressure-induced?
So it can come from either way. Certainly if there's head injury or a motor vehicle crash, that can rupture blood vessels. But a lot of times it can come from chronic problems over time. High blood pressure over time can damage the blood vessels.
Ooh,
and those can then rupture and bleed. Some people are born with abnormalities of the blood vessels that have weak walls or outpouchings that can rupture later in life.
Mm-hmm. Blood vessels, are we likening those to veins?
Arteries, usually.
Arteries. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the high pressure vessels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So are there different kinds of strokes? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember as my mother got older, she had little, I think they were called TIAs or something small, but
right.
This wasn't a massive where she lost function.
There are different types of strokes. Basically, the strokes itself is a permanent deficit, and those are either the bleeding or the blockage types of strokes. A TIA often is called a mini stroke, and it's a temporary obstruction of blood flow, something that either a clot breaks off and goes down blood vessel, so you get problems for a little while, but then they go away within 24 hours. A lot of times those are a warning sign for another stroke, a permanent stroke to come. I'm a cardiologist. I take care of patients with cardiac issues that sometimes can lead to stroke and TIA. And atrial fibrillation is one of the big contributors that my patients have to stroke. And a lot of times we'll pick up atrial fibrillation when somebody comes in with a mini stroke, with a TIA, and then we go looking to figure out, well, why did this happen?
Sure. Now, AFib, as some people call that,
right?
Is that something you can feel if you're sitting here? Can you feel that you have that type of condition, or is this something that is caught by a fluke when you have an EKG or the doctor hears it on a normal exam?
Well, that's a really good question, MJ. I spend about 85% of my time taking care of patients with AFib. And I collect stories. How did you find AFib? How did it show up? And I have yet to get the same story twice.
Oh, really?
And the same set of symptoms twice, even. So the hallmark for AFib really is that irregular pounding. But I have patients that showed up for an appendix surgery or a hip surgery, and they hook them up to an EKG and see that the rhythm is out of whack, that it's irregular, and they have AFib, and the patients have never noticed a thing. I have patients that have been in AFib for years, and it gets picked up that way. And I have other patients that their very first episode of AFib, they get very symptomatic, very short of breath, fatigued. I had one patient that would even pass out with his episodes of AFib.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the symptoms are really variable. But the hallmark for most of my patients is that irregular pounding.
No, and you can feel that. I mean, that's a feelable thing.
Most people can.
Okay. Is that what people would describe as their heart racing, maybe?
So heart racing, one of the first questions I ask, well, does it race in, is it regular like a drum beat, or is it flopping all over the place? Mm. And the atrial fibrillation tends to be the flopping all over the place type, where it can be fast, but it's very irregular.
So if someone comes to you and they have felt a flutter here or there, because I have felt a little flutter,
absolutely,
you know, where you kind of just feel a little, okay, then it's okay.
Right.
So would the question be for the duration, or is any little flutter that you can feel, do you pay attention to that?
So some people notice every time their heart has an extra beat, and that's a normal part of the way the heart works. We should have extra beats every now and then.
Okay.
That's A-okay. For atrial fibrillation to be called atrial fibrillation, it generally needs to last about 30 seconds or more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good.
But that
to know.
Doesn't necessarily mean the symptoms have to last 30 seconds
right,
or more.
Right, right.
Because some people are completely asymptomatic.
Right, right. 30. So what is the, I want to get back onto stroke.
Sure.
Let's, and if you're just now tuning in, listeners, we're talking with Dr. Trey Moore. He's from Franciscan Health. You know, it's years ago, St. Francis was just a little hospital down by Beech Grove. I remember when we first moved to Indianapolis, it was right around the corner. We lived in Beech Grove, and there it was, a close. I thought, wonderful, nice little Catholic hospital. Well, nice little Catholic hospital. Now it's Franciscan Health. It's down in Beech Grove. But then I was driving home from way north a few weeks ago, and there's a pretty nice complex up in Carmel someplace, or yes. Westfield. I don't know where. Yeah.
And Franciscan Health is actually a multiple hospital system, you know, spanning three states. We have 13 or 14 hospitals now. So it's not just Franciscan Health Indianapolis. We have.
Okay. And do they have a lot of extra or other campuses, kind of, so to speak? I mean, like a surgery center or a center for a particular condition.
Absolutely.
Throughout the city?
Yes.
You know, I'm wondering, before we get back into stroke, to button up with this AFib, because it sounds like it's kind of stroke and heart attack could be interrelated.
There's a lot of overlap.
Is it customary or suggested that once you hit 50, once you hit 60, that you start to have a regular, meeting with your doctor, regular physical every year or two, and that maybe having a regular physical, this could be diagnosed during that time with a hookup to an EKG? Is that a regular thing that you would suggest?
So as far as screening for atrial fibrillation, most of the patients will get an annual EKG as part of their regular physical exam, but not always. But atrial fibrillation, because it can come and go, it's very tricky to catch. And an EKG shows us what's going on with the heart for 6 seconds.
Right.
So if we get 6 seconds once a year, our chances of picking up AFib are very low.
Yeah.
So it's really being aware of the symptoms from AFib and keeping an eye out.
Yeah, that's good, because I have to surgery coming up, and so they wanted to do a pre-surgery EKG. And you're right, it took them longer to hook me up to the little doohickeys. And she pushed a button, and then with seconds later, she was unplugging me. That was it. It was like, well, how can they catch anything in that, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, we need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Dr. Trey Moore III. He's from Franciscan Health, when we're talking about stroke awareness. May is Stroke Awareness Month. You know, I say Trey Moore III. Do you come from a long line of doctors, or are you the first?
No, I come from a long line of jewelers. My grandfather, John W. Moore Sr., used to engrave the Kentucky Derby trophy. Another longtime May tradition a little farther south. Yeah. Until another jewelry company came to town with their machine engraving in the 70s. My dad and my uncle are both jewelers still in Louisville.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, as we would call, when I lived in Louisville for 1979 to 1989, we called that city across the way that you come from, Nalbany. Not New Albany, it was Nalbany.
We tend to call that Nalbany as well.
That's a beautiful little perch.
It's
the river.
It is lovely down there. Yeah. I took care of another new Albanian earlier this week, and there are still a few of us floating around up there.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so let's get into the warning signs of stroke. We talked about the different kinds of strokes, a little different kinds of strokes, but let's talk a little bit about what's significant or maybe insignificant, little things that might be going on that would make you perk up and take notice.
Right. And that's really important to know, because time is everything when it comes to stroke. And with that theme in mind, the American Stroke Association has a little acronym of FAST to recognize a stroke. And the F stands for face, the A for arm, the S for speech, and the T for time.
Okay.
So the F, the face, we're looking for asymmetry or drooping on one side of the face. With the arm, one side weak or numb. And if you have somebody hold their arms out, one of the arms will kind of drift down in some cases. And speech being garbled or difficult to understand, or difficulty understanding speech, not knowing what somebody's saying when they normally would. Those are all big warning signs of stroke. And that's where the T comes in. That's time to call 911.
Wow.
And the reason it's so important is there's a lot we can do these days for stroke if we get at it early. Within the first few hours, we can give clot-busting drugs that can help break up a clot if that's what's causing the stroke. And then you go from a potentially devastating, debilitating problem to having that all resolve and go into prevention mode.
Oh, my.
Now,
my.
Are there home remedy type of things that people should not do in case of stroke?
I would say the biggest no-no for stroke is taking a nap and see if you feel better when you wake up. Because that really chews up a lot of time. And I've had a number of patients come in that we'll see, and they've had deficits, a weakness, or problems for since the night before. And they say, well, I didn't feel right after dinner, and I thought I'd go to bed and see how I felt in the morning. And there's really not time. The time is so important. If you have these things pop up, they need to get checked out as quick as you can.
Well, let me ask you a question. The type of, it's not really a stroke, but when one side of your face kind of gets droopy and numb, and I had that a few years ago. It lasts for about 6 weeks.
Right.
Could be 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is that any indication of future, you know,
not necessarily. So what you're talking about may well be Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
And that's another condition that will give you a droopy, numb one side of the face, but not from a stroke.
Okay.
But if you're at home and all of a sudden that happens, it still would be worth getting checked out.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. It is kind of scary. Because they can say, you might recover, you might not. I mean, there's a percentage of people who have Bell's palsy that it turns into a permanent condition.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
But I would much rather come to the emergency department and find out that I have
Bell's palsy rather than stroke.
Not a stroke.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And you know what? The first indication that I had was I had a metal taste in my mouth. And I thought that this just didn't seem normal. And I went to the ER, went to the med check. And by that time, just in the few minutes from driving from home to the med check, it was apparent to him. I mean, he, right away. Okay. We talked about warning signs a little bit. Are there lifestyles or behaviors or even diet that you could employ or to prevent or a possible stroke? And in talking about this, let's talk about hereditary a little bit, because are you set up? If your mom had a stroke, your dad had a stroke, are you more predisposed to having a stroke, by the way, physiologically? So let's talk about diet. Is there something you can do in diet or exercise to prevent the possibility?
Absolutely. So according to the American Heart and American Stroke Association, about 80% of all strokes are preventable.
Oh, my goodness.
And a lot of it comes down to taking good care of yourself.
Okay.
So if you have high blood pressure, that needs to be taken care of. And usually we want to keep those numbers for most people below 140 over 90. Those are kind of the baseline goals. There are different goals for different folks, but that's kind of our starter. Eating better is important. And you and I were talking a little bit before the show about the dietary changes that have been happening lately. There are a lot of fad diets out there, and a lot of them are really difficult to follow and don't make a lot of sense. I'm a big fan of what I call the grandma test. If your grandmother wouldn't have recognized it as food, you probably don't have any business eating it. And eating whole foods, less processed, I think is good. More vegetables. But a healthy diet is key. American Heart Association, American Stroke Association have lots of information on healthy diets on their websites as well. Physical activity is really important, not only for preventing stroke, but also helping with high blood pressure, helping with diabetes. Pretty much anything you look at gets better with exercise. And what we're looking for is 30 minutes of good exercise a day, most days of the week. And if exercise was a pill, it would be the most powerful pill ever.
Yeah.
Now, by exercise, do you mean, you know, getting down on the floor and doing sit-ups, push-ups?
The best exercise, and I'm going to steal this line from my wife, who's a physical therapist, the best exercise for you is the one you'll stick with. And if it's, high-intensity aerobic kickboxing or long-distance cycling or swimming laps or just walking in the neighborhood, anything that gets your heart rate up that you'll stick with is good to do. Right along that same line, carrying around excess weight is a risk for many things, including stroke. So getting weight off can be helpful. And you don't have to get down to supermodel size here. I mean, every 5 pounds that you lose, you see improvement in blood pressure, in glucose, in all of these measures. Cholesterol is a risk factor for coronary disease, blood vessel problems, including stroke. So if you have high cholesterol, getting that under control.
What's high?
Yeah, it depends on who you are.
Okay.
So for most people, we want to see the bad cholesterol below 130, if nothing else is going on. For patients that have known coronary disease or known vascular disease or stroke, we want to see that bad number below 100 or even below 70.
Oh, wow.
And it's really hard to get to that level without medications. So if somebody is borderline with their cholesterol, has risk factors, or has known problems, we work really hard to get those cholesterol numbers down.
Oatmeal is what you're saying.
Not enough oatmeal.
Not enough.
It helps. It helps. It certainly does. For diabetics, that disease really damages blood vessels at many levels. And one of the best things that diabetics can do is keep their blood sugars under good control. And once again, that comes back to exercise and diet and all these things just really tie in. But keeping diabetes under control can really help prevent stroke. And the last and most important thing that everybody knows is if you smoke, stop. Mm-hmm. And if you don't smoke, don't start.
Mm-hmm. Is there an age when stroke is more predominant than other ages?
Well, age is certainly a risk factor for stroke. So as you age, your risk factor, that risk factor continues to increase. And there's no way yet to reverse that risk factor. Mm-hmm. But yes, as you get older, your risk of stroke does go up.
But young people do get strokes?
Young people can get strokes.
Mm-hmm. And theirs might be more physical injury type or?
It can be, or vascular problems. In our line, we tend to see young patients with very aggressive vascular disease in their early years, and patients who have abnormalities of the blood vessels, like the aneurysms that we talked about before, tend to show up early. Unfortunately, with drug use, we also see a higher rate of stroke in those patients.
Oh, interesting. You know, we kind of touched on this, but I do want to stress this a little bit more. And listeners, if you're just now tuning in, May is Stroke Awareness Month, and we have Franciscan Health with us today. Dr. Trey Moore is talking to us a little bit about the not only the dangers involved, but possible preventative measures. And you just kind of listed off so many things that seem so intuitive, so natural, so completely, as you said, your grandmother's diet. I love that. You know, the Whole 30 and the whole foods and is something that we hear a lot about. And it certainly makes sense when you talk about it. You know, I remember seeing a movie not too long ago where they said, if you put a Twinkie on the table and come back in 20 years, it'll look pretty much the same. I mean, that's how many preservatives are in a Twinkie. And I used to like those things, too. I Dutch Twinkies, I just tell you. Is heredity a factor?
Heredity certainly is a factor. When we talked about the aneurysms, those are very heritable. There's certain types of those aneurysms that if you have family that had an aneurysm, particularly one that ruptured, their screening that's done for the remainder of the family.
Interesting.
For patients with more garden variety blockages that develop in blood vessels, that also shows up in groups and families as well. And is it
how important irritable? Is it to stick with a medication? Doctor gives you a medication, says take this. You take it for a few months. I don't think it's doing any good at all. I'm going to quit.
You know, for prevention, it's really important to stick with the medications. High blood pressure is a great example. When we discovered that high blood pressure is a risk for stroke, we started treating people not because of anything that was immediately wrong and causing them pain or problems, but to prevent problems down the road. And we use medications that generally have some side effects. So we're trading those side effects for all of the prevention down the road. If your doctor gives you something and it doesn't agree with you, it's a good idea to let your doctor know. I always like to know when somebody says, hey, this trade-off of prevention versus side effects isn't working for me.
Sure.
Because there's so many options these days.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let me ask you a quickie, because we hear a lot about this, and even when I've been to grocery stores, now they have a whole section of baby aspirin, or it's called low-dose aspirin nowadays, instead of the St. Joseph baby aspirin. But is it true that taking baby aspirin, which I always told was just take a baby aspirin when you hit 50, start taking a baby aspirin before you go to bed, or, you know, or two at night or two in the morning, whatever you, but that taking a baby aspirin today could be harmful if you have a history of strokes in your family? Are those kind of do those work against each other, stroke and baby aspirin?
So in general, aspirin is preventative only for patients that have already had stroke. But aspirin does thin the blood a little bit. So if you're one of those patients that has aneurysmal type of strokes, that could increase your risk of stroke there. Aspirin is a funny drug because we've been, as humans, have been using aspirin and drugs like it for 3,000 years. And we still don't know what's the right dose of aspirin and when's the exact right time to use it.
Okay, so maybe don't take a baby aspirin just prophylactically. Check with your doctor.
That's exactly right.
Check with your doctor, and it all gets back to that. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Dr. Trey Moore from Franciscan Health, the cardiologist, visited us today to talk about stroke, and May is Stroke Awareness Month. So thank you, and God bless you for being our guest today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.